Okay, recording. This is Taiwan Special. Should be Friday, I do believe. Thursday, Friday, I don't know, something like that. Third one this week. So the big news about the election, Jesse was right. And I don't mean to be braggadocious about this, but I study this stuff. I get this stuff. We could be looking at a very, very Republican Supreme Court. Republicans are winning the long game. Where Trump campaigned, senators won. Now, the places where Democrats gained, it's like this map makes sense. So I don't think there was election meddling because the map makes sense. You didn't have a race where a Republican took the governorship from an incumbent Democrat, and then let me start this over. You don't have, for example, a race where a Democrat took the governorship from an incumbent Republican. The one of two senators, you know, the Democrat took the seat from an incumbent Republican, and then the other senator was Republican, but the other Republican, oh, he won by a lot. And this didn't happen. But then it's all these Democrats taking stuff from Republicans, but then the Republicans held the House. You didn't have that kind of stuff happening where there were Democrats gaining seats. Democrats did well in the same states and Republicans did well in those states. It lines up. It makes sense. Trump was targeting seats that were open in the Senate. They're elected only every 6 years. So only one third of the Senate was up for election. And that's where Trump focused his campaign. So this election outcome makes sense. Now, I said that Republicans would do well in this election. So I don't have any questions about the legitimacy of it. Here's the interesting thing, though. I don't remember anyone talking about off-year midterm elections as the controlling party always loses. I don't remember people ever mentioning that before, but I put that in one of my articles at Pacific Daily Times. It's documented. I believe I started a trend in the news. No, I write my Pacific Daily Times editorial blogs before Rush Limbaugh does his program. I've written stuff to Rush Limbaugh, and I've watched stuff that I write in the Times show up on his program. Now, he does, like, in the morning, like, he's doing research from, like, 8 a.m. all up until noon every day. So I have to work to make sure that I get my stuff uploaded, you know, written, published, uploaded on YouTube, on record, on Monday before Limbaugh starts his program. So we know that what Jesse had to say this week about what happened over the last week and the weekend was not just Jesse copying Limbaugh. This is a thing. Now, I don't remember anyone ever say, oh, yeah, the controlling party always loses every year. No one ever said that. I only remember that being the trend since Clinton. Newt Gingrich went in and took over the House in Clinton. Right after Clinton was elected, people couldn't stand the guy. Clinton was one of the best things that ever happened for Republicans. I mean, look at the Trump election. So I wrote at the Times, it's typical. Usually, you know, the controlling party loses during a midterm. People vote for the president in one party, and then they vote for the Congress in the other party 2 years later. People go back and forth. That's typical. I wrote about that at Pacific Daily Times. Within 1 or 2 days, Limbaugh starts talking about it. And then after that, everybody else starts talking about it. Even the people were saying, Limbaugh explained it a few times. He said, conventional wisdom is, I already wrote that at Times. And he'd never said that before. Not that I recall. I'm a subscriber. I'm a Rush baby. I don't remember Limbaugh talking about that. That was a Jesse original. And then Karl Rove was saying on Fox, analyzing stuff. He was a strategist for, he's called the architect for W. Some unethical stuff, but Rove knows his stuff. So Rove was saying, well, if you go back and look over the elections, you know, the controlling party always loses during midterms. But see, people weren't talking that way. I was the first person in news media that was talking about that before anybody else was. Now, I'm not trying to say that I'm all wonderful. I could be wrong, but it's important for you as my listener to know that I know what I'm talking about. See, I'll go back to the Federalist Papers, like I was mentioning yesterday. Hamilton's papers, a lot of it's BS, like a BS paper. And he writes the same paper. And his format basically is, he chooses any random topic. And he's the way it works is, if you have no union, if we don't have a strong federal government, we will break up into many countries. And if we are many countries, then we will not be strong against, insert imaginary problem, or other unrelated, just any problem. It doesn't have to be related. Real, fake, related, real but unrelated. It doesn't matter. It could be real and related. It doesn't matter. Insert a problem. Domestic crime. Okay. Domestic crime will increase if we don't have a union. And your dog will eat you, and your mother will die in horrible shrieking pain, and the ground will swallow up your farm. But if you have a strong federal government, none of that will ever happen. So, and that's basically the format that Hamilton goes through. He writes the same paper again and again, just with a different scare tactic topic. Okay. But Madison, in the few papers he actually wrote, instead of this endless boilerplate that he BS'd, look up boilerplate. Boilerplate Publishing. Go look it up. It's a thing. People would write these pre-formatted BS articles in case the newspaper didn't have something to print. So they get this stack of pre-written articles. So you'd have like a political article, and you'd read it, and then you'd go get like a gardening magazine and the same stories in it. This is like 100 years ago this started. And the format's different. The font size might be a little bit different. The words are arranged differently in the column. But these were pre-made, mass-manufactured BS articles that looked like the plate that you'd put on a border. You didn't have to put the letters together. They were already arranged. And the thing is, whether you're reading the political magazine or reading the gardening magazine, it sounds like it's related to the magazine because it was such well-crafted BS. And so publishers would have these stacks of these plates that looked like they needed to be riveted onto a boiler, like a train steam engine boiler. They had these plates, and if they didn't have enough, say, I need a boiler plate that's 2 inches long and three, you know, like, and they'd go grab one and then they'd fill it up. And so then the paper was full if they didn't have something to write about. Like, this is an old thing in news. In fact, that kind of stuff is what covers this whole infotainment 24/7 news channel stuff. So if they don't have something to talk about, they'll invent something. So news has always been looking for fodder to fill stuff up with. So that's boilerplate. It's where people give the same pre-recorded, pre-written assessment of the situation. And it's interesting how the art of boilerplate. It's basic BS, and that's what Hamilton did in the Federalist Papers that he wrote. But with Madison wrote a few articles, and he was very, very concerned about the masses who didn't understand things as well as you need to run the country, that the masses would ruin the country because of this ignorance. And so he wanted the people to have power, but Madison was not against democracy. He wanted people voting for their government, but he wanted checks and systems enough in government so that you wouldn't get some idiot in there that would destroy everything because the masses had no clue what they were doing. He didn't want mass ignorance to destroy the country. That was Madison's thing. It's very important that you know, when you listen to me, I'm not just another idiot with an opinion. There are lots of people with opinions out there, but my opinions, they're accurate and trustworthy. So, apologies if I've gone on too much here. Feel free to tell me, but the biggest thing, I see, I'm supposed to say this braggadociously, and the greatest thing is the biggest, it was the best, this was the best election, the greatest, because once again, I was right. Yes, I was right. A little bit of braggadocia is fine and funny, but for me, there is some legitimacy to it, because I do understand this stuff, and the day that I stop being semi-accurate about election results, what's going to, with the direction of the country and so forth, is the day that I need to get out of this. So I'm here. I'm getting near the end of my time. I said I was going to talk about how Democrats think. I deal with a lot of people that, you know what? I'll save it for tomorrow. I'll give you another bonus. I'll run another one. Cheerio.